you've experienced disappointment such that it's able to shake your faith in God. I'm not talking about somebody saying, oh, we'll be meeting at 5 o'clock and 5:30 the person is not there. That's not what I'm talking about. The type of disappointment that makes you, instead of going north, you start to go south. You decide to, I mean, there's no need to continue going north. What of aspirations or ambitions, goals you have set, your expectations, how sometimes in life, it could be with school, with family, work, ministry, name it. Have you suffered disappointment? Or what about the fact that human beings, and they have to be human beings though, human beings, if it was somebody that you really didn't put hope on him or her, you wouldn't really call it disappointment. But that person that you so trusted, and it never crossed your mind that anything like that could ever happen. And yet that person disappoints you. I'd like to welcome us to the School of Life this morning. You are not alone on this journey. You are not the first. You will not be the last. The only difference will be if you don't know the truth about how God expects us to handle disappointments. We're looking at these two disciples. They were not counted among the 12. They were not counted among the 12. So we don't know one of them, we'll know his name, Cleopas. But the Bible recorded that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, these two were traveling back to Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Jesus had risen from the grave. The center of life, as at this time, should be where? Jerusalem, where the news is spreading around that Jesus had risen from the grave. And these two had risen to pack their bag and baggages and head away from Jerusalem. In verse 17 of our scripture, the Bible says Jesus walked up to them. They were discussing about the things that happened in Jerusalem for which they were now walking away from. Jesus walked up to them and joined them. Hallelujah. He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" They were having a conversation. The situation they were discussing was a type that made them sad. Has any disappointment really made you happy? If anything made you happy, it's not a disappointment. We won't call it a disappointment. Here were these guys walking away from where they ought to be and sad. So Jesus was the one who noticed their sadness. What is this thing? What is it that you are discussing that is making you sad? If you look closely and watch their response, they said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem and don't know the things that have been happening?" And Jesus said, "What things?" Hallelujah. What things? Now, they recounted everything that has been happening. And in verse 21, to show their state, they said, "But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel." This is the root of their problem. We were hoping, we had a hope that this Jesus was going to be the one that will redeem Israel. What it means now is that our hope has been dashed. We're disappointed. The story they told, they had all the facts. They told all the facts. Some of our women went to the grave. They came back saying they saw an angel who told them he had risen. Some of our men went with them. And they also, somebody would have said, "Dumb ass, what does that mean?" It ought to mean he's risen. Why don't you? They were the one who told this story, and they still said, they still did not conclude. As far as they were concerned, they are saying all this around. But the other way to put it is, we really don't know. The women said they saw an angel. Some of our men went there. But we are going away from Jerusalem because our hope, we thought, our expectation was that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. The Bible recorded, Jesus didn't, the Bible recorded that their eyes had been restrained from recognizing him. What are the expectations you have set? What is your hope? In 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, there's a story of one army officer from Syria called Naaman. You remember that guy who had leprosy? And he was told there is a prophet in Israel that can pray and he will be healed. So he got a letter from the king and came up to the prophet, Elisha, and had expectations. As far as he was concerned, Elisha is going to come out from his room. They will give him the official letter from my king. After reading it, he would come and do his, whatever. And sometime maybe lay hands on me and pray. And the leprosy will go. The Bible recorded in that place, Elisha did not step out of his room. He didn't even come to set his eyes on this great army officer with his entourage. Rather, he sent a servant. He said, go tell that man outside, he should go to River Jordan and dip himself 7 times and he will be clean. That's not what I expected to hear. Some of us have expectations for our lives. We have plans, we have goals for our lives, for our marriages, for our kids, for our jobs. And as far as the media is concerned, what we watch on television, the glamorous life and that they try to paint, a picture they try to show us, we have from those cues developed some expectation of what success in life should mean for me. The reason why you and I, get disappointed, we will find as we look at these two of our brothers. Amen? Number one, their viewpoint was totally human. There was no spiritual implication, there was no spiritual view, dimension, no spiritual dimension to their viewpoint. Here they were, they told all the facts. The elders, you know, he was delivered, the elders delivered him, and Pilate and others, you know, they crucified him, he's dead and buried. Facts. What is the spiritual implications of all of these? Where is the spiritual view that you have taken in looking at this picture? Nothing. They had facts, but it didn't amount to truth that God intended for them to catch from the things that Jesus went through. To look at life, to be a disciple of Jesus, and look at the issues of life purely from human point of view, puts you on the negative side. To claim to be a Christian and everything that happens to you, you can always add all of them up, this, and that. And then you never, ever, you have never been able to say, what could God be doing by this? You are looking at life from a wrong perspective. You will and must be disappointed. Seriously, I bet you. Especially suffering. The things that bring us disappointment. A lot of people out there who are no Christians, who think they have a reason against God and Christ, they start to ask, if you say there is a good God, why are people suffering? Why is there suffering all over the world? And here you are. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What do you know? Let's really ask the question, who are you? What do you know? Some of us are growing to just discover some things. You and I know that, you know, we are just growing to discover some things. There were some things your parents told you those days. And you felt, old man. Now you have grown to discover that. It was right. And maybe your daddy lived here for only 100 years. Let's hope he lived here for only 100 years. In the 100 years he lived, he saw some things that were true, no matter the generations that will ever be. Are you getting the point? By what he has experienced, he told you, they didn't make sense to you. Until you have also gone through your own journeys and have arrived there to discover, oh, it's true. But here you are dealing with a God who doesn't grow old, who is Alpha and Omega. He has spoken. The Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away. Not one jot or tittle of his word will pass unfulfilled. That's the God who has spoken. And here you are, you and I, we are questioning. Why is there suffering? And if we look at scripture, we can find God sitting over the heavens and the earth, being in charge. Controlling suffering to bring glory to his name. Using suffering to accomplish his desires in the lives of his children. Especially when they learn to surrender it to him. Expectations that you look at only from a human point of view make you disappointed. It might be difficult for us to jack you up from the floor. So here they were, had all the facts. They never looked at it spiritually. Secondly, they had their own agendas. Their own agendas determined their expectations. They had their own agendas. As long as you and I cling to our own agendas, we will remain blind to what God is doing and even his presence with us. Do you know that why these guys were sad? Because when Jesus walked up to them, he noticed their sadness. And they had said, we had expected. We thought he was going to deliver. Is Jesus not really the one to deliver? Not even only Israel, but the whole world. Is he not? But who are you to determine the extent of revelation that God should give you at each point in time? Who are you to understand the calendar of God? What does God owe you? As to say, Pastor Duke, yes, sir. You know I'm planning to save the whole world. but I choose to first of all start from Israel. This is the whole picture I have. Even Jesus with his disciples said, there are some things I needed to tell you now, but you are not ready. You won't be able to catch them yet. Even after Jesus resurrected and, 40 days and as he was about to finally depart, the disciples, all of them now, were still asking him in Acts chapter 1, Master, would you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What was his answer? That's not your business. That's not your business. Your business is right now. Go to Jerusalem go and wait for the promise of the Father. That's the next step in God's calendar. When God and how God is going to do his things is not your business. When our own personal agendas about how my family should be, how my work life should be, how my size should be, if that's all, get ready for disappointment. When we cling to our own agendas, listen, as they were going, the person they were talking about, who had risen, was with them. He was present with them. And here they were, sad, lost hope. And they were believers. I'm not a medical doctor, but we fight a spiritual battle. I'm conscious of that. Most of the sicknesses that believers are sick of, they have no business being sick of those sicknesses. When you are at the helm of affairs, you are the one driving. That's when, you know, you allow those things to hit you and defeat you, and you feel defeated and sad and alone, lonely. You are the only one passing through this. Where is God? And yet he is there. You remember the life of Job? What did Job say? Was it in chapter 33? He said, I look everywhere, I can't find him. Where is he? His suffering made him question, where is God? Where is God? And where was God? All the time. Been there. He knew the genesis of this problem. He knows the revelation of the problem. But here is Job at the middle. He doesn't know what the end will be. But God sees the end. While Job is suffering, asking questions, can't find answers, God is seeing the end. 10 more beautiful children. Wealth doubled. Life extended. No loss. Not one loss. These 10 children may have gone. Your wealth today may have gone. Everything may have gone today that you look at and see as suffering. I am seeing you with 10 more beautiful children. I'm seeing your wealth doubled. I have chosen, before I ever allow this to start, to extend your life so that you won't say, oh, the kids I now had, they were only little kids when I died. No. So that you could still see their end, I have already done all this before this one ever started. You remember Joseph? Remember Joseph in the scriptures? Remember how that guy looked at his situation? When he revealed himself to his brothers and the brothers were feeling bad. He said, no, it's not you who brought me here. Who did? God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. The correct perspective to look at Was it enjoyable to be arrested by your blood brothers and sisters and thrown into a pit to die? They thought that this could pass through the mind of your own brothers. What would that? You never knew what was going to happen. They made sure it was a pit where you cannot come out on your own. Later, they came to bring you out. You thought they had changed their minds, only to sell you away as a slave. That thing haunted him all through. But one thing he was always conscious of: I have a God that I cannot disappoint. That's why he didn't say, because I'm thrown away this way, God is no longer with me. When he was tempted, he didn't submit. But when God finished, who was the winner? Huh? What does this tell us about God? When Joseph was telling the prisoners of Pharaoh, please, when you are released, remember me. It showed that he was still looking for ways to be free. Bible teacher said for two more years, they forgot him. Scriptures told us it was the word of God that brought him out when the time was correct. So, Joseph was able to look at his experience as from God's point of view when he was, a time came when his brothers were feeling very bad. It's not you who brought me here, it's God. Where is your view of God in what you are passing through? In 2 Samuel, sorry, 2 Kings chapter 16 from verse 5 to 13. 2 Kings 16, 5 to 13. David was driven out of the throne by his rebellious son. And as he was going, there was a Shimei from the family of Saul who was cursing, throwing stones, and accusing him. You wicked man, you bloodthirsty man. What you have sown, that's what you are reaping. You stole the kingdom from Saul. Now God has repaid you in the correct coins. What can be more terrible than being accused of what you are innocent of? David had two occasions to kill Saul in order to grab the throne. He restrained himself. And here he was, somebody's accusing him falsely. You are a bloodthirsty man. You are a wicked man. That's what you deserve. Throwing stones at him and kicking dust. One of those David security men said, "Master, let me take off the head of that dog." You know what David said? David said, "Leave him. God has asked him to be cursing me. God asked him to be cursing me. That's why he's successful." So if my son, my son that came out of my womb, my loins, if he's able to do this to me, leave this man. It's God who permitted him to be doing this. That's why he's doing it. If God shows mercy on me and chooses that what he's doing is wrong, God might bring me back to the throne. I'm talking about looking at your circumstances, no matter what they are, from a spiritual perspective. If you are going to find freedom and victory over the consequences of disappointment, the results, the things that could happen out of, you know, being disappointed, it will be because no matter how bad the situation is, you tell yourself, I'm not the one in charge here. I have a Heavenly Father who may be painting a picture I'm not able to see right now. I'm going to allow him have his way. Thirdly, why they were this disappointed, they failed to acknowledge the resurrection. Hallelujah. Resurrection had taken place. But here we are believers. They had some facts. They had all the facts, not some, all the facts. Some of our women went there, they found the grave empty. They say an angel told them. Some of our men went there, they are testifying that they have seen. What does this mean to you, believer? The resurrection has taken place. Because of the resurrection, you ought not to be walking away from Jerusalem. Because of the resurrection, you were supposed to be walking towards Jerusalem right now. To prove that that was what it was supposed to be, you know, when they, on that journey, when they, it was evening, they decided to lodge somewhere. Are you getting the point? And they felt, you know, and Jesus pretended as if he wanted to continue the journey. They encouraged him, constrained him to pass the night with us. It's too late. He said, okay. And while they were about to eat, he broke, you know, in breaking the bread, what happened? Bible says, their eyes were open. They recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Can you imagine that? At the point where their eyes were open, he vanished. Did they sleep there? Bible students, did they sleep in that place? No. Bible said they got up immediately, ran back to... ran back to Jerusalem. This was where we were supposed to be. I know so many people today who look at their lives and blame experiences they have had, circumstances, or even people that have been used to bring the affliction on their lives. They have exalted those people above God. They've exalted the circumstances they are passing through above God. It's not supposed to be so. They went back to Jerusalem. They had forgotten, you know, the promises of Scripture, which Jesus, you know, the Bible says, even when Jesus was explaining to them, he said, oh, foolish, I mean, should Christ not have suffered? And then the Bible says, from Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures about himself. If you and I are going to develop a correct response, attitude towards disappointment, failure, such that our life will not be marked with sadness and depression and name it, whatever you can call it. It will be because we have used the scriptures, applied the scriptures correctly. There are promises, promises for you and I today that if you stand on any of them, God will be bound to fulfill what he has said. He will be bound. He cannot lie. I was discussing with somebody today. I'm not against debt. If you have to really go into, take a loan. But you know that the fact that we can easily swap our card anytime, any day, makes us not ask God for anything. You are broke. Swap card, you can pay later. So you just swap your card, you will pay later. How is God your Jehovah Jireh? How is he your provider? How is he your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he God? Is he real? Have you proven him? Have you proven God to be your Jehovah Jireh? Or is all your effort? That's why you have to work 24/7. Because you got to pay all those bills you didn't ask heaven for. That's why you can't rest. You are stressed out. Will God jump away from heaven because of you? No. He won't. He has his word. Until you agree that you are not God. Somebody had this prayer I wrote out. Lord, I am willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to let go what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to be what you require. I think that's a good prayer that should redirect my life and yours. We live in a world where they paint the glamorous, and real life, abundant life that Jesus promised, is not there. Jesus was the one who said, a man's life does not depend on the abundance of things he possesses. There's poverty in this country. But the poorest people in this country, those who consider themselves poor in this country, are very, very rich compared to the rest of the world. What perspective? From what perspective are you looking at life? Have you exalted human beings who were used to disappoint you? Who became the instruments? Have you exalted them above God? When you do, you will see them, you will forget what God has said. You will believe that these circumstances you are passing through is bigger than God, and that God cannot work this one for your good. Whereas the scripture says, all things, he works it together for the good of those who love him.